Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I have heard about the temptations of Jesus ever since I was a child, and they were always head-scratching to me. I heard about them in Sunday school, preachers preached about them, and I could not figure them out. And I'll tell you why. Anytime we think of temptation, we think of bad stuff, like stealing or killing. You don't want to do that stuff, so when you're tempted to do bad stuff, you want to ask God to help you. But then you read about the temptations of Jesus, and the Bible says he was tempted in every way we were, and I read this and I think, I've never been tempted to turn stones into bread. It's not within my skill set. I've never been tempted to throw myself off a precipice because I know there won't be angels there and I'll fall and go splat and die. So that's not a temptation. And I've never been tempted to bow down to Satan in order to gain the world because he doesn't talk to me much. So I don't really understand it. Do you? We think of temptations as bad things. What was so bad about a guy being hungry and within his skill set, he could have turned stones into bread and he said no? Now, I admit to you when the devil tells him to fall down and worship him, that was a bit over the top. I could understand Jesus saying, well, no. But even the temptation to throw himself off the temple balcony, what a sight that would have been. Angels swooping down to pick him up. Do you realize if he had done that, he would have never had to recruit disciples? He would have never had to take the arduous task of teaching them. He would have had instant disciples, instant followers. He would have not had to go through all that hassle. And even the temptation to fall down and worship Satan, think about it. He wouldn't have had to go to the cross because Satan, who was Lucifer, the angel of light, would have been his strong man. It would have been like having the mafia with you. You know, Jesus tells you to do good stuff and the devil is the enforcer. Wouldn't that have been wonderful? See, if he had yielded to any of those temptations, the trajectory of his life would have been different, and so would have ours. To yield to those temptations, to take the shortcuts, to do what would have felt good to him, would have then changed all of this. I would not have the family I have today. Now, I'm not just talking about my husband and my son. I'm talking about the family. There are people I know all over this world that name the name of Christ who are my brothers and sisters because of Jesus, because he did not yield to those temptations, because he had a longer view. And do you realize the only way we know this story is that Jesus told it to his disciples? He told them what happened. There were no eyewitnesses, so Jesus had to relate what he did and why. If Jesus had yielded to these temptations, he might have been a byline in history as a great magician, as someone who wowed the people. But would we be here today? It's quite something to think about, isn't it? That our actions, that what we do and how we do them can have profound implications. Now, we have not been called to save the world, but we have been called to model the grace and the peace and the mercy of God. We've been called to make a difference in our lives, even if that difference is just for one person. And we might not be remembered after a few generations, but what we leave behind is very important. And how we use the strengths and the gifts that God has given to us is vitally important. And there are temptations to use those gifts only for ourselves, to take easy way out. And we have to really think about how we conduct our lives and how we use the profound gifts that he has given to us. I remember stories from my grandparents' lives. My grandparents were immigrants. They came through Ellis Island. They could not read or write. They could not speak the language. And my grandfather got seasonal work, like many seasonal workers up here. He tended gardens because that's all he knew how to do. And as they were here, they gained more and more children. They had 11 children, 8 of whom survived. 3 died in their young years from diseases that are routinely vaccinated for today. And they were in abject poverty. They worked very hard to keep body and soul together. And there was an occasion where they could have risen from poverty in an instant. Now, my aunts and uncles did a wonderful thing for us. And this is a brief commercial, has nothing to do with the sermon, but I want to tell you about it anyway. Each of my aunts and uncles wrote little books about their childhood. So we have all of these little books to tell us about their childhood on Staten Island with their immigrant parents. They're wonderful remembrances, and what's interesting is each child had a different perspective. From their lens, they told the stories of their childhood. And one told the story about how they could have instantly been taken out of poverty. Now, I had heard the story from my mother, I had heard it from some uncles, but I hadn't heard it from the perspective of an aunt who had a very different take on this. During Prohibition, there was a neighbor of theirs who was quite wealthy. She said they had a big white house with a number of balconies, an office. They had gas station. They had a garage and a white high fenced area where they parked their beautiful cars. It was a lucrative business, but it was only a front to mask their real moneymaker, bootleg whiskey. Flora had a still in her basement, and all during Prohibition, she made a small fortune. They had the best of everything, big cars, lots of money, good food, trips to Miami in the winter, private schools for their girls. Oh, the shame of it. Flora, this lady, had tried to interest my parents into making some of the stuff in our cellar. We did anyway. Everybody did. All the Italian immigrants had stills. And my grandfather, when I was a little girl, I remember going to the basement and seeing it and sampling some of his wine. But she wanted her to make this and sell it to her for her outlets. And my aunt writes, "But since chicken runs in our family, Mama refused." And there went our chance for silk dresses, private schools, a Buick, and trips to Miami. The grandparents refused to help in this illegal endeavor. They could have instantly been out of poverty. But let me tell you, they left a legacy beyond money. All their children in one generation were out of poverty. One was a commander in the United States Navy. They all were wonderful citizens of this country and have passed those values from one generation to the next. Yes, they could have been instantly taken out, and our family's history and story would be very different. One little action saying no to something that was so tempting for that family has given us a legacy beyond money. It's a value that we have and that we've passed down from generation to generation. What actions will you take in your life? Actions that will speak volumes, not only to the people around you, but to the generations to come. That's the lesson from the stories of Jesus' temptation. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that the values that you have given to us are so much more than money, wealth, and station. I ask that you would help us to use the tremendous resources you've given each one of us to enfold those who are in need, to follow you, even to sacrifice. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.